Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Gil Martin, glad to be with you as always every Monday as we talk about the biggest stories from around the NHL with our local experts. Want to thank everybody for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. We've got a great show coming up for you today. The Boston Bruins red hot. Tuukka Rask back in net for the Bees. And Ian McLaren of Locked On Bruins is here to discuss how this team has put things together and is on a winning streak beyond just the arrival of Tuukka Rask. Then Robin Liagno of Locked On Arizona Coyotes will join us. Robin will be here to discuss Jacob Chychrun, his trade prospects, and how quietly the Arizona Coyotes are playing better hockey as of late. And finally, the Ottawa Senators have been on a hot streak in their last 11 games, playing quite well, dealing with a lot of issues, but Ross Levitan, the co-host of Locked On Senators, will be here to talk about their young stars and how they are influencing the team's improved play as of late. All right, welcome to the Locked On NHL podcast, Monday edition. Gil Martin, glad to be with you, and thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Right now, it's my pleasure to welcome back to the show the host of Locked On Boston Bruins, Ian McLaren. And Ian, thanks for joining us today.
Not a problem, Gil. Thanks for having me on.
Well, great to have you here and tell you, things seem to be looking good right now for the Boston Bruins. Nice winning streak going, and Tuukka Rask back in town. Let's start with Tuukka. Were you surprised at his return, and where do you think he fits in coming back with this team?
Yeah, I don't think I was overly surprised. He had made it pretty clear back in the offseason that he had the surgery on his hip in order to prolong his hockey career for at least one more season, and he said all along that he only wanted to play for the Bruins again. I think maybe the only surprising thing about it was the deal that he signed. It was a one-year deal worth only $1 million. I think prorated against the salary cap, it works out to be about $545,000. So for him to take pretty much the bare minimum in order to come back and play for the Bruins, a bit surprising, but he had made it clear that he wasn't coming back for a payday, even joking that he'd be willing to play for some Bud Lights. In terms of where he fits in with the team, I think it'll be similar to what the situation was with Rask and Yaroslav Halak over the last few seasons. The Bruins really thrived under a kind of a 1A and 1B goalie rotation. So I don't think at all that Rask is going to come in and play, you know, every night or even, you know, three quarters of the games. I think it'll be a pretty even split between him and Linus Ullmark, who after a bit of a shaky start with his new team has really been playing well over the last several weeks as well. So yeah, it's going to be probably a 50-50-ish split. But then as we get closer to the playoffs, I would imagine that Rask will ramp things up even more and probably be the starter when it comes to playoff time.
Team's on a five-game win streak right now. What has been the big difference during this win streak that has been, you know, they've been not only winning, but winning pretty handily in a lot of these games?
Yeah, the biggest difference for this team right now is coming out of the holiday break. They had a long COVID break in the mix of that as well. So partly just guys getting rested, refreshed, kind of a soft reset on the season. And something that Bruce Cassidy did before the first game back was really shuffle the lineup. So we saw David Pastrnak bumped down to the second line to play with Taylor Hall and Arikala. And then Craig Smith was bumped up to the line with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron. And what that has done is really spread out the offense. Hall and Pastrnak have found some magic there on the second line. One of the big storylines for the Bruins coming into the season was who was going to play second line center. And not that that's been erased as a question, but it kind of almost doesn't matter who's down the middle with Hall and Pastrnak on the wings, because they can certainly drive the line and drive the offense. So now you have kind of these two duos in Bergeron and Marchand on the first line, Hall and Pastrnak on the second line. And that's really helped to spread out the offense. And yeah, the Bruins offense is really clicking right now. They've also found some pretty effective trios on the fourth line that have been helping on the forecheck, creating some scoring down there as well, providing some energy. But the main thing has been that shuffle in the top six, and it's really, really paying off for Bruce Cassidy and the Boston Bruins.
Talk to me about the defense, and let's start with Charlie McAvoy. He's been playing through some injuries and still playing at a very high level.
Yeah, he has been not himself per se since the beginning of 2022. He missed a game or two with that that injury that's kind of been lingering. But still, when he's been called upon, he's been playing major minutes, still locking things down. One thing that really impresses me about McAvoy is that he his speed, he's able to get back on defense fairly quickly, to able to retrieve pucks, throw around the body there on the back check, and then able to grab the puck and take things the other way to drive things offensively. He's been remarkable for the Bruins, not necessarily piling up points like a Cale Makar or an Adam Fox is, but defensively, he is as strong as anybody in the NHL. And yeah, they were without him for a game last week against the Lightning, which they won, which really is a testament to kind of the depth that they have, and also Bruce Cassidy's defensive system that can kind of withstand their number one guy being out against the top team in the NHL.
Wanted to ask you about a newcomer who's off to a pretty good start. I hope I'm going to pronounce this right, but Urho Vaakanainen, four assists in his first five games, and playing pretty well, you know, defensively and positionally as well. What is expected of him, and does he have a long-term fit on this team?
I mean, yeah, the Bruins, they selected him in the first round back in 2017. There's been a lot of, you know, questions about Don Sweeney and his draft record. You know, obviously, Charlie McAvoy has been a huge hit. We just talked about him. The year after, they selected Vaakanainen over some pretty impressive players. You know, Josh Norris went behind him. He's turned into a top line center for the Senators. Robert Thomas, Kyler Yamamoto. These are all guys that were selected pretty much right after Vaakanainen. And it's taken him some time to develop. And that's not unheard of, obviously, for defensemen. He, you know, just turned 23 a couple weeks ago. And in his limited time up with the Bruins so far this season, he has looked very good. I don't know if he's a top pair guy necessarily, but he certainly looks like he belongs in the NHL lineup. Not dissimilar to Jakub Zboril earlier this season, who was a first-round pick in 2015. He suffered a season-ending ACL injury. So that was a big, a factor early on in kind of testing their depth. But yeah, Vaakanainen's come up in a pinch and certainly looks like he belongs. He's strong defensively. On Saturday against Nashville, he broke up a two-on-one in overtime. by batting the puck out of the air, and then he started the play the other way, where Pastrnak and Hall set up the winning goal. So that was the fact that he was out there with those guys to begin with, shows how much the Bruins believe in him at the moment and think that he's capable of playing with the big guns.
All right, Ian, why don't you tell our viewers and our listeners where they could find the show and where they could find you on social media?
Yeah, Locked On Boston Bruins is available on all podcast platforms as well as on YouTube. People can follow the podcast at Locked NHL Bruins on both Twitter and Instagram. And they can find me at Ian C. McLaren.
All right, Ian, thanks so much for joining us again. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Always a pleasure. Gil, have a good one.
All right, thanks. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. And if yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. And Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good, you'll want to eat it, unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky, waxy, or even taste like a chemical spill. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, and most Built Bars contain 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and 4 net carbs while packing 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So, there's so many flavors that you could choose from. All of them really, really good. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, my personal favorite, salted caramel, mint brownie, and many, many more. In fact, Built is always coming out with new limited time flavors, so check out Built.com often to see what's new. Go to Built.com now, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, welcome back to the Locked On NHL Podcast Monday edition. Thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Right now, it's my pleasure to welcome back to the show, Robin Liagno, the co-host of Locked On Arizona Coyotes. And Robin, how you doing? Welcome back.
Thanks for having me. It's good. It's pretty good. You know, I think had to recover over the weekend, but, you know, things are better.
Okay, glad to hear that. And yeah, I mean, look, the Coyotes seem to have stabilized a little bit after that very rough start to the season. I mean, they had won 2 out of 3 before this recent home-and-home with the Colorado Avalanche. Let's start with this. What has been the sort of helping them stabilize things a little bit, let's say, over the last 5 or 10 games?
I think it's a mix of a lot of different things. One, it's finding reliable goaltending. And I think that's been the thing for the Arizona Coyotes for over the last couple of years. Obviously, you saw them when Darcy Kemper and Antti Raanta were on their team, and now in this case, it's Scott Wedgwood and Kirill Vejmelka. They've been a massive part to this Coyotes team. Obviously, you saw Vejmelka, I think he's had 3 games of over 45 saves this season, which is unbelievable. And then I think the other thing, too, is I think the team overall is just stabilizing and finding a chemistry together, because this was a completely new team. It's a team that had, like, for the most part, hadn't skated with each other at all, because they completely blew up over the offseason and just like, all right, we're starting 100% fresh.
All right. So sort of getting more comfortable with each other, learning the system. A lot of trade rumors going around with Chychrun. We know that he demanded a trade. What are the Coyotes asking for him? And do you hear any rumors about what may be imminent and coming down the tracks right now?
So I don't hear anything concrete yet. But I do know that what the Coyotes are pretty much saying is they don't have a set asking price right now, but they're just listening. They're just seeing what is the value? What do these teams value Jacob Chychrun as? And it seems that I've been getting some proposals from other hosts. There's like, oh, what about, you know, 2023 first round plus these players? And that's roughly where it is, you know, getting a high level draft pick, roster players, and also a prospect. So we're talking a future potential Norris caliber defenseman here. Right now, this season isn't his year. It hasn't been his year so far this season, but we've seen what he's capable of.
What is his health status right now? And you know, how does he look long-term? Because obviously, like you mentioned, he hasn't been off to a great start this year, minus 29 through 26 games. How has he been playing and how is his health?
He started picking things up after the start of the season. Again, he was terrible to the start. He finally got his first goal. I think it was either late November or early December. But it's still been slow. I think he's trying to find who he pairs well with. Is he going to be pairing well with Lyubushkin better? Does he pair well with like Anton Stroman? Who is his number one pairing? Because he lost his number one pairing last season, after last season. So, health wise though, I think last I checked though, he was day to day with a lower body injury. I do not know any timetable when he was going to return. I do know at the beginning of last week he was put into the COVID protocol, so we don't know anything else much past that.
And just to give our listeners an idea, you know, so many people hear his name in trade rumors. What does he give to a team? You know, you say he has Norris Trophy potential. What does he add to a lineup, especially if he's put into a team that has a little bit more talent around him than Arizona does right now?
I mean, you've been able to see it in the last, like last season, for example, despite how, bad the Coyotes were even then, he was a he was a defenseman that was capable of scoring goals. He's a puck moving offensive defenseman who can really find the net, get him paired alongside a good defensive defenseman, and it works well for him. Last year, he was the highest, he had the most goals among NHL defensemen, if I'm not mistaken. So he was up there. It just shows what he's capable of. Again, this year it's like a misstep of this year. It's completely different than what we're used to, but he's still based playing off his value.
Wanted to ask you about Clayton Keller playing so well for the Coyotes right now, and maybe because Arizona is struggling a bit, not getting a lot of attention from the national media. Talk to me about this guy who's leading the team in scoring and really seems to be coming on as a leader as well.
Yeah, that's one of the big things I was thinking about all season long, is he was going to come out as a leader. And Clayton Keller definitely is one of those people. And I think he knows this team is rebuilding, and he knows that he's with this team long term. I believe he's locked up through, 6-7 years, going down. So he's got a long time with this team. So he's making sure he gets that commitment. And he's buying into the new way that Andre Tourigny has set forth by the team, and he's delivered. And I think he has worked alongside other players too. If you look on the defensive side, I think even with Shane Gostisbehere, who's literally just right behind him in points, I think they work well together as teammates, even though one's offense, one defense. But it just shows that they like each other, and I think when he finds a good pairing and a good line mate, it works well for him.
Give Coyotes fans another reason for hope. Give me a couple of players who, despite this being a rough season, have emerged as pieces this team can hold on to and build around.
There's a lot of players. I mean, the Coyotes has been a lot of injured teams, so they've called up a lot of guys from the Tucson Roadrunners. And on the Coyotes podcast, we've actually talked about a couple guys who got called up and who are making big impacts. Barrett Hayton is one of them. He got called up and he has made a huge impact, and I don't think he's going to get sent down anytime soon. JJ Mosier just got called up not too long ago, I think earlier this month, and he's already made a big impact to the point where it's almost to the point where the guy just can't send him down, even though he probably is better served in Tucson. But it just shows you what the future of this Coyotes team is capable of. It's going to be better. Right now, it's not still good. But these players, these young players who are, in their early 20s, maybe even the late teens, they're going to be the future of the franchise. And that's what they're building around.
One last question about the arena situation. I know it's more or less settled for this year, but any new news on the future of the Coyotes and where they'll be next season?
There's still a lot of unknowns about that. It almost seems one thing's for sure is Gila River Arena is almost out of the question. So they're just waiting on Tempe. Last I checked from the last week or two that it was actually almost hanging in the balance, where a couple undecided city council members were leaning towards no on accepting the proposal. And that's just, that would be just enough to reject the proposal. There are still months ahead, so they still have a lot of discussion. They had to discuss with ownership, and a lot of it is behind closed doors. So we don't really know what's going on. But at this time, it's hard to tell, I think. But Coyotes fans should still be optimistic and maybe even voice their support, because city council meetings are public.
Well said. Well said. Robin, why don't you let our listeners and our viewers know where they could find the podcast and where they could find you on social media?
Yeah, so you can find the podcast, or anywhere you get your podcast. We're also on YouTube at the Locked On Coyotes podcast, and Facebook as well. But we're you can find me personally on social media at Robin underscore Leano. It is at Robin with a Y underscore Leano. And that's where you can find me.
All right, Robin, always a pleasure to have you here, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Gil.
And today's episode is also brought to you by your friends at BetOnline. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year, and they have a new updated desktop and mobile website, so sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, one word, to get started. So for listening to the Locked On NHL podcast, betonline.ag will give you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's free money to use to bet on site. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome back to the Locked On NHL Podcast Monday edition. Gil Martin, as always, great to be with you, and great to welcome to the show the co-host of Locked On Ottawa Senators, Ross Levitan. Ross, great to have you here.
Gil, always a pleasure, man. Love chatting hockey with you, even though your Islanders did take care of the Senators last month.
Hey, we had to beat somebody. It's been that kind of a season for the Islanders. But, you know, the Senators have been playing some pretty good hockey as of late. What has been, in your mind, over the last 10, 11 games, what's been the difference for this team?
Yeah, obviously November was tough. They went 1-11-1 in November. So, yeah, I'll say it again. November was tough. But there were certainly games, especially at the end of October, that they deserved to win. They were in them right until the very end. And we're a goalie-friendly show, so I hate to do this. But when all three goalies that have played in the year have under 900 save percentages, you're not going to win very many games, as simple as that. And with Matt Murray, the $6 million man, he's locked up for 3 years, right? Two after this one. And you just need great goaltending from him. And he's provided that now in two straight starts. Even though if you look at the numbers, yeah, they let in four goals to the Oilers. You could say maybe they didn't deserve to win that after two periods. They go in with a two-goal deficit. But he made these key saves at the right time, especially against Calgary. So if I had to break it into one spot, it would be goaltending. Anton Forsberg went on a 5-1 stretch through the start to middle of December. And then Matt Murray, take away the Toronto game. The game they played on New Year's Day, 6-0, that should never have even been played. I don't know why it was. It was the Sens' only game in an 18-day stretch with injuries. COVID was running through the team. So outside of that effort or lack thereof, goaltending has been a huge improvement over time.
You know, the Senators have played fewer games than any team except the Islanders.
Yes.
How is this team holding together through all these postponements and COVID delays and all of the other uncertainties facing them this year?
The real uncertainty was in November. I brought up their record, but they should have had games postponed back then. They were playing with 10 guys out of the lineup. They were icing an AHL roster, and it was just loss after loss after loss. The game where they finally pulled the plug for a week afterwards, it was a 4-0 shutout loss on home ice against the Calgary Flames. There was nobody left to play. And it was so flat. It was so hard to watch. So from that standpoint, then you're looking at it around the league. You're like, oh, now they're postponing games for everyone else. And the Islanders were right there with it. That's why they're so low in terms of games played, right? So you know what I'm talking about there, where you're just wondering, like, who's going to be the next man up? But now that things have settled down, and there's only been two players right now in Ottawa who haven't been on the COVID list. So once you're on it, then you don't have to test for 90 days. Therefore, now you can start getting the ball rolling. And with this young team, they're just excited to come to the rink every day. There's been some mic'd ups that the Senators have posted in practice, and the guys are loose. They're having a great time. And when their leaders are 22 and 21 years old, that's going to bring that exuberance that sometimes maybe a veteran team with that length of time off, you could start going through the motions a little bit. But this team is just enthusiastic. They're fun to watch and easy to root for as well. Now, the power play and the penalty kill, of course, have to be mentioned with this turnaround as well. They've killed off 25 of the last 27 penalty kills. So if that keeps up, man, that's a recipe for success.
And the power play now ranked 14th in the league. And that's pretty impressive, especially when you consider that Ottawa is near the bottom of the league in goals scored.
Yes, certainly is. Now, maybe a part of that being the lack of games played, because there have been some high-scoring games that they've come out on the wrong side of as well. Like, they put up a 5 spot against the Colorado Avalanche and lost. They put up a 5 spot against the Washington Capitals and lost that game. But you're right. And all the damages from their first unit, these are names that the average hockey fan should start getting used to sooner rather than later. Their first power play unit, everybody knows Thomas Chabot by now. He would have been easily on Team Canada for this Olympics had the NHL players gone. So everyone knows him. Everyone knows Brady Tkachuk, obviously his father, having what should be a Hall of Fame career. And then it becomes a little more unknown after that. Now, Tim Stützle, 3rd overall pick, he's starting to get his feet wet. It was a year ago yesterday that he played his first NHL game. Now he's played about 85. He's starting to get to that next level. Drake Batherson's a guy who I'd love to expand on a little later. And then Josh Norris, 2 of those power play goals against Edmonton. He opened the scoring and he scores the game winner. So their first power play unit, they move the puck around so well, and each job is so well defined. Batherson's the playmaker. Chabot opens up space, carries the puck up. Stützle, another on the half wall. He mixes it up. And then when you've got Brady Tkachuk in front of the net, he causes havoc. And Josh Norris, you can see his one-timer coming. It's just like that Ovechkin, that Stamkos. You know, he stands in that spot. You know it's coming, but there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's the most frustrating thing for an opposing goalie. Yes. And an opposing team, no doubt. You know, Norris, 16 goals leading the team, but only 8 assists. What's with the Cy Young Award consideration here?
Yeah, I think it's just being the right place at the right time. It's not like you look at him during the game and you're hoping that he's going to pass the puck more, anything like that. There's such a great chemistry brewing between Drake Batherson and Josh Norris that speaks to the development program the Sens are putting in place now. Those two were line mates all year long in Belleville last year in the AHL, where Josh Norris, 2 years ago, last full season pre-COVID, although it did stop a little short. That being said, Josh Norris wins AHL Rookie of the Year last year, put up 31 goals, and Drake Batherson he's just an assist machine. So it's that yin and yang, and it's very rare that it's the centerman who's doing the goal scoring versus the winger who's more of a playmaker, play driver, but that's just the way these guys are rolling, and it's working for them. Out of those 16 goals, Drake Batherson's assisted on 13 of them and has the primary assist on 11 of them. So that in itself just kind of explains to you how well these guys feed off each other in the offensive zone. And is there a first line in the league where nobody's 23 years old? Because that in itself is pretty impressive.
Yeah, not in this league. Not in this league. Talk to me a little bit more about Batherson. You mentioned before we went on air that he is the all-star representative for the Sens. Other than the point total, which anyone can, you know, look at online or in the box score, what makes him so special? What is it that makes him an all-star?
Well, he's built like a power forward and he's got hands like a playmaker. That's kind of how I describe it. He's got great patience, elite hockey IQ. That would be my number one attribute for him. He thinks the game so well. He's smooth. He's a right shot who just finds the right areas on the ice. Now, his story is unbelievable. He was passed over in the 2016 draft. Nobody wanted him. He was 5'10". Now he's 6'3". So talk about a growth spurt afterwards. But then he gets selected by Ottawa in the fourth round. Ottawa's chief amateur scout is from the Maritimes. They found him in Cape Breton. He was doing all right. And then after they select him, he just goes wild. 7 goals in 7 games at the World Juniors for Team Canada. They win gold in Buffalo in 2018. Then 2 years in the American Hockey League, he goes to the AHL All-Star Game. Say what you want about the level of competition there, but he scored 5 goals, won AHL All-Star MVP, and he helped Belleville what would have been 2 great opportunities to go on a Calder Cup run, but both years cut short due to COVID and things out of his control. So that in itself was super unfortunate. Then as a 21-year-old, he comes up and he's feeling ready at this point. Has a great rookie season last year, doesn't look back, and now he is just primed to continue to break out. And Ottawa, I don't know what it is. Maybe you can help me out. These Maritime kids, they're just signing for team-friendly deals. Marchand, everyone talks about him with the Boston Bruins. Nate McKinnon might be the most value contract in the National Hockey League. Sidney Crosby could have asked for the maximum. He signed for 8.7. Common denominator, the reason I bring up those elite of the elite names, is Drake Batherson trains with those guys in the offseason. And as a young kid, getting to be around that greatness day in and day out in an environment like Halifax, I think that can only help this guy's development. I think you're seeing the fruits of that labor out on the ice.
No question. And you know, sometimes you learn by example. You see what the best players do, and you can sort of pick up on that. And doesn't even have to be stated to you. You just watch it and you pick it up, and that's a great thing. Russ, I know you have a very special guest coming up on today's episode of Locked On Sen, so why don't you tell us about that?
Well, it's hilarious because people have fun at the Senators' expense, and I don't think any least of which is the reason that the Sens geographically are right in between the 2 biggest markets in the NHL, in Montreal and Toronto. We're just nuzzled in there, super passionate fan base, and when either a prospect writer rates them too low, whatever it is, Sens fans are passionate and quick to jump and defend their team. So on Saturday and leading up to Saturday against the Edmonton Oilers, this was a team who's really struggling. Now they only have 2 wins in their last 14 games. So on paper, and I don't blame people from afar being like, this is an easy game for the Oilers. So Paul Bissonnette, spitting chiclets, he's TNT, NHL on TNT, big name in the industry. He's going on and on about how he's putting his parents' 401k, which, I mean, he was wrong there because in Canada it's an RRSP. But that aside, he's putting that on the Oilers to win and McDavid to get a point. And I don't blame him on that because McDavid set the single season record for most points against Ottawa. He had 21 points against Ottawa last year. That in itself is wild. The Oilers went 9-0 against Ottawa and wow, no loser points. 9-0 for Ottawa against Edmonton. So all those things, you boil them into a pot, and Biz says, this is the lock. He said, you're a moron if you don't bet this. Well, the Oilers were up 3-1 going into the third period. Ottawa outscores them 5-1 in the third period. 5-1. So I just tweeted out at Sen Central, just having some fun, saying, hey, at Biz, I tagged him. I said, I think you owe Sen's Army an explanation. So you want to come on LOSP? DM to discuss. And I just having some fun at his expense. And next thing you know, I got a DM from Biz saying, hey, you're free tonight. I'd love to jump on with you. So I got to give him credit for that. This guy's got over 1 million followers. He doesn't need to give anyone the time of day. And for him to come on, face the music, he was on for 34 minutes with us. So pretty much the whole episode of Locked On Senators today. I thought that was pretty cool.
Absolutely. Give him credit for being a stand-up guy and
facing the music. Here.
Absolutely. Ross, why don't you tell our listeners where they could find you on social media and where they could find the podcast?
For sure. Yeah, you can find the podcast anywhere you find your Locked On NHL podcast. So Apple, Google Play, Spotify, the list goes on and on. We're also on YouTube. If you want to see our ugly mugs as we're going over the day-to-day of the Ottawa Senators, touch on around the league as well. And of course, there's plenty happening now that these games that were postponed, they have to get made up. So this is where Locked On it has their bread and butter. It's your team every day, not only for the Senators, the Islanders, like you do such a great job on, Jill, the national show, Locked On NHL. Like, this is our bread and butter. They're going to be playing every other day from now until May. So whether you're – whatever team piques your interest today, if your fantasy playoffs are coming up and you need to check in, make sure you're locked on all, what, 33 shows? How many shows we have on the network now?
At least 33. Yeah. I think there's 35, actually.
Wow. See, that's the Locked On difference, man. So we're just trying to do our part, have some fun, keep conversations light, make sure we're having laughs, because if we're not enjoying doing it, I think the listeners can hear it at home. So we just try to keep it going, and we're looking at a team that's finished at the bottom of the standings now 4 years in a row. So obviously self-deprecation is a premium on our show.
Nowhere to go but up, though.
That's, I mean, or you could stay stagnant. That's the only problem, which is what I found out the hard way the last few years. But hey, the pieces are there. I told you about the first power play unit. Like, there are players coming. And if there's any American listeners, you're going to be seeing a lot of Jake Sanderson at the Olympics from North Dakota. He's the next big thing coming up in the Ottawa pipeline. So yeah, there's lots to look forward to, but fans until then can just point to 11 wins, and they've got 7 wins in their last 11 games, but they have 11 on the season. So do some quick math. They were few and far between before that.
Yeah. As an Islander, you know, fan and person covering them, I can relate. We had an 11 game winless streak in November into early December. So
yeah,
I'm
pretty sure that Ottawa was the game, the slump buster game for you there.
I think you're right.
You're welcome.
All right. Ross Levitan, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Jill. Anytime.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On NHL podcast. Want to thank our guests, Ian McLaren of Locked On Boston Bruins, Robin Liagno of Locked On Coyotes, and Ross Levitan of Locked On Senators for joining us today and talking about the latest news from their respective teams. Thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets. It's your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. I'm Gil Martin. You could find me every day on Locked On Islanders, and you could find me here every Monday and Friday when I co-host the show with Rachel Donner. So always looking forward to that as we preview all the biggest games and news heading into the weekend. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe, and thanks for listening to the Locked On NHL podcast.